Hello and welcome to the Science Fiction Book Review Podcast. My name is Luke Burridge and this is the show where I review every single science fiction book that I read as I read it. There's no set schedule, it's just whenever I finish a book, I do the review, stick it up here on the podcast feed for everyone to download and listen to. So joining me today is Juliana. Say hello.
Hi everyone.
And we're going to be reviewing a book, which is the third book in a series, which, as I mentioned in the previous episode, it's always, or two or three episodes ago, it's always a little bit tricky to review a third book in the series, because you're kind of reviewing a book for the people who either want to read the entire series, or are we reviewing the book for the people who've read the first two books and then are thinking, shall we read the third book? But I guess if you're this far along in a series, you're like, well, everyone who's read book one and two will probably read book three, because, you know, why not? Yeah, why not?
Yes.
You've already put that work into it already. It's like, and I think that's why, of course, when you get later on in a series of books and you look on Goodreads, you're like, wow, this is really highly rated. It's like, yeah, only the people who are really fans of the author or really fans of the series are going through to book seven or something like that, you know.
Yeah. Well, this is only book three.
This is book three. It is the third book of a trilogy. It's the Machineries of Empire series, as we just looked it up there. And it's Revenant Gun by Yoon Ha Lee. Oh, my thing on the table just moved. Don't worry about that. And so, the issues with this book.
We're going straight into that.
Let me say it this way.
Okay.
Issues with reviewing this book for me.
Okay.
I finished this book like 3 weeks ago.
I'm sorry.
Again, it's not your fault. Don't worry about this. I was like, hey, I'm going to finish this book. I was really into it. And you were waiting for it to come
on the library
ebook reading app, which means you can, you know, you don't know when you're going to get it. So I was like, well, I'll just read this and then I'll just review it and whatever. You can read it whenever you want to.
Oh, you reviewed it already?
No, I haven't reviewed it already. The thing is, I finished it just before we were going away to the Catch Juggling Festival, which was about 3 weeks ago or something. That's when I finished it.
Right.
And we were at a juggling festival. And then I had like one evening in an Airbnb, but I was like doing video and photo editing from that festival and things like that.
Yeah.
So then I went straight to the European Juggling Convention in the Azores, which is another festival, much bigger, you know, like 1,200, 500 people there, whatever it was, you know. And then I did that for a while. And then I was like, great, now I'm going to come home and I can review it when I get home, because then I can set my microphone up and do a good review because I'm not camping, you know, the previous times I was camping. But by that time, which was about 2 weeks ago, you said, hey, it's come through in the library book, and I've started reading. And I'm like, great, I'll just wait for you to finish the book, and then we can do the review.
Yeah. Well, actually,
I went on another work trip and read two of the books, or finished two of the books, reviewed two of the books, and then I'm coming back now. So, yes, this is where we're up to.
But actually, it didn't take me that long to finish it. I got it out. Like, the library was able to give me one of the, I don't know how many samples they have.
Yeah.
I got it on the 30th, 30th of July.
Yeah.
And I finished it,
yesterday.
Yeah.
So 2 weeks. Let's say it took you 2 weeks. But the point is, I was ready to review it about 2 weeks ago, and then you said, hey, I've got the audiobook out, the ebook out the library, and then I'm like, okay, I'll wait, and I'll just have to remember in 2 weeks what all the things I have to say about this book.
Sure, I'm sure when I'm talking about stuff, it comes back to you.
Anyway, this is exactly my point. My issues with this book, I don't really remember that much about this book.
Oh, really?
No!
Oh.
And I think this is one of the big issues. This is one of my big issues with the book, is that I don't remember very much. I actually remember more from the second book, which I didn't enjoy quite as much as this book.
Hmm.
And unlike the first book where, I mean, sure, I've read it twice, but even after reading the first book, it was a 5-star book for me. And I have very few 5-star books.
Yes.
And then the follow-up books, I'm like, okay, this is 5 stars. And the next one, not very good. It was a disappointment after the first book, you know.
Right.
And then this third book I thought was better. And I'm like, oh, that's good. It's kind of wrapped up the story. And, you know, we find out a bit more. We spend a bit more time with the servitors. This, this, and that. But now it's just almost completely gone out of my mind. Except, like, overall, what happened. And that was my main issue with the second book and also the third book. Is that what happens?
I don't remember anything from the second book.
Exactly, but you've just finished the third book, so you've got to help me out and say some of the things.
Sure.
Some of the memorable things that happened in the second book. All I remember is that the moths. Are they the moths?
Yeah.
Yeah, the banner moths and the dreadnought moths and the shadow moths or something like that.
Void moths.
We got a little bit about where they come from, and they are alien. They're like an alien species that had been taken over and bred and stuff like that. I remember that stuff.
Yeah.
Which is a big part of it, because that's the Revenant gun is the... I think it's named after the moth or something like that. I can't even remember.
No.
Oh, isn't it?
No, the one of the main characters is naming the moth... Yeah. The Revenant.
Oh, okay, that's it. Yeah, that's like, what I'm saying.
He gives it the name.
I'm saying that's what the name of the book comes from.
Yes.
Or, you know, co-naming... The author has named the book after this character, which is a moth. And right. I remember we spent a lot more time with the servitors, and that's what I enjoyed from the first two books, that the servitors, sitting down with Jadao and Karis and watching TV shows and stuff like that, and I quite enjoyed that. And we got a lot more from that point of view, and I enjoyed that in this book.
Yeah.
And, yeah... And, but that's it. I don't, like, and I remember overall what happened, but I don't remember any of the character moments. I don't remember any of the clever battles. I just don't remember anything.
Yeah. I have, like, I wouldn't say I have similar feelings to it, because of course I remember a lot more.
Okay, you don't need to talk loud. Just talk in normal volume.
What happens, I do remember, obviously, more than you do. But I have a few issues and a few things that I really liked about this.
Yeah.
I also did enjoy that we got to spend more time with the servitors and other
characters,
other characters in the book.
Yeah.
Although I must say, after you telling me, oh, there's more servitors and stuff, I expected more.
So I
was quite disappointed how it was only like touched, and then it was like we got to spend some time with them.
Yeah.
And then it was dropped again, and it went back to, like, history of the big emperor.
Of the Hexarch and stuff like that, yeah.
And as much as I enjoyed getting more of that backstory, it was just tedious sometimes.
Yeah.
And it was more about, okay, he really enjoys beautiful things. Oh, look how he has beautiful things again.
Yeah.
Look how great this tapestry is.
Yeah.
Look how this chandelier is. Like... It felt at some points just a bit too much of that. And and sometimes it felt to me like there was more written about the servitors and their story and the moths and
you wanted
shit.
More Jadao and Karis, did you?
Yeah.
Ah, okay.
And like I wanted more of the others. Like I really had fun reading about the moths, and I would have enjoyed way more spending time like amongst them, because there was this whole thing going on. And it was just like this side mention.
Yeah. Let's talk about this meta. Let's talk about around this subject. Again,
it's not really tricky.
Well, it's not even talking tricky about this, but I've got some ideas. This problem, the problem for me, okay, my main problem with this book, even though I enjoyed it, I'll give it like 3.5 stars or something, because I enjoyed like my memory of the reading experience. It's difficult.
Was this a positive one?
Was a positive one.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it. And my issue is that I have... what am I trying to say? So, at the end of the first book, it was like, hey, Jadao and Karis are going to get together, and what they're going to do is they're going to now change the order of the Hexarch.
The calendar.
They're going to change the calendar, they're going to change the order, and what they're going to do is they're going to make it better for everyone. So people don't have to be tortured, and we can still have the right technology, and all of this. Everyone's going to be safe and looked after and all that kind of stuff.
Like they can actually decide
with
their free will, do I actually want to be...
Yeah.
Soldier or not.
Yeah, and maybe democracy in the future or something. Although, even though that's a bit like, oh, that's a bit weird for leaving up to people to decide what they want to do.
Yeah.
Anyway, and then that's what they decided they were going to do, and that's what they were going to aim to do at the end of the first novel in the trilogy.
Yeah.
And the second novel is, guess what? They keep doing that. And then the third novel is, guess what? They keep doing that and kind of succeed, but they kind of succeeded at the end of the second book, and then at third book they're like, oh no, a few loose ends, and then they're like, and now we've succeeded, you know. And that is not, for me, a very satisfying story arc.
Yeah.
Just to tie this in with Star Wars, because it's a trilogy that everyone knows, at the end of Star Wars they're like, yay, what have we done? We've killed the Emperor. No, they didn't kill the Emperor. They killed Grand Moff Tarkin or something. They destroyed the Death Star. That was the big thing. Destroyed the Death Star, and they're like, great, the main weapon of fear that has taken, that the Empire is using is good. And they didn't need the Senate anymore because they're going to keep everyone in line by fear. And it's sort of like, we've removed that fear.
Yeah.
You know, we've done that. And
the symbol of it.
Yeah, they removed the symbol of the fear, and it's like, yes, and now it's going to be good. But, you know, Darth Vader, not dead yet. So, you know, and then the second one, you're like, oh shit, Darth Vader has now been promoted and he's like second in command and he's in charge of all of this and he's a lot more ruthless and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But there's more... There's for the rebels who are, you know, like the group of rebels, Leia, and you know, it's the rebellion's story in that way.
Yeah.
It takes another two stories or another two parts of a story.
Yeah.
And they're kicked around and kicked down, you know, and stuff like that. And they're all spread out in the fleet, and you know, someone has to learn something else. You know, like there's more character moments. And at the end of it, of course, they would just repeat what they did at the end of the first story again. But they're like, now, because we didn't just destroy the new Death Star, we also killed the Emperor. We redeemed like, and there's that kind of thing. You're like, oh, okay, now this is a resolution.
Yeah. And that happened in the second book.
That happened. Well, that kind of happened. That's what I'm saying. In this book, in this series of books, it's like they got all the way up to killing the Emperor.
Yeah.
Like that at the end of like the first book was all three of that trilogy, all three Star Wars trilogy, and then at the end you're like, oh, and now actually what we need to do is we just need to make sure the laws are good for the next bit. You know, we just need to get there's a little bit of Empire stuff over here. We just need to mop that up over there and get it under control, and that's it. And you're sort of like, no, but we didn't get the movie about them sort of like mopping up afterwards, and you know, and tidying up and putting in place some new laws and stuff.
Yeah,
it's like Yoon Ha Lee has, again, another Star Wars analogy here, is that like George Lucas didn't understand what we liked about Star Wars, so he's like, oh, what we need is we need battles between different things, we need lots of special effects, we want Jedis running around, we want lots of, they like lightsabers, okay, just lightsabers all the time, everyone's just lightsabers, all that kind of, they're like silly aliens, so let's do silly aliens, you know, they're like droids and all that kind of stuff, and it's sort of like, yeah, but actually what we really liked is Han Solo and Leia and, you know, Luke and Chewbacca and R2-D2, you know, we like the cast of characters, that's why we like the trilogy.
Yeah.
And you can't just go, oh, let's just have this other stuff. And it seems like Yoon Ha Lee has gone, oh, right, this is a book. This first book was really, really popular. So what people really, really like is Karis and Jadao and the Hexarchs, you know, and the politics and the history of the Hexarch and, you know, the all this other kind of stuff. And I'm like, no, actually what I really enjoyed was the weirdness of having a character, two characters put into each other's brains.
Yes.
And then learning about stuff through board games and, you know, all the crazy stuff that was there.
Yeah.
And the discovery of the magical seeming technology, which was so crazy in that first book, you know.
Yeah.
Like calendar-based stuff, and then there's these different formations, and the formations create like wormholes into hell, and people's body parts fall apart and stuff like that. That's crazy. And learning about that, like the fantasticalness of getting that for the first time, is what I liked about the book. I didn't actually care about what the series is named after. The series is named after Machineries of Empire. And I'm like, I have no interest in Machineries of Empire.
Yeah.
What I'm interested in is the craziness of the writing and the crazy character stuff that you can do with characters being implanted in other characters' heads. And the weird stuff with the sexuality and the weird stuff with the gender representation, the weird stuff with the board games and all that, and you know, all that crazy stuff is actually what I wanted. And I didn't just want more of what was in the first book. What I wanted was more new crazy stuff, which would break my brain further.
Yeah.
You know? And they're like...
Well, certainly, like, it didn't go that way in the second book.
No, in the second book, it was sort of like, hey, everyone likes empires and machinery. And I'm like, no, I don't like machinery and empires.
Yeah, I mean, it was called Stratagem. It wasn't called something...
Yeah, Raven Stratagem. Yeah. Now, I don't mind strategy.
But it's already in the title.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, let's... get this whole action, which at the end there was, in book one, there was action.
Yeah.
Let this just come to a halt.
Yeah.
And let's just concentrate on chess, kind of. Like, in like
Political chess maneuvering.
Like, okay,
yeah.
We put this here, and then we put this there, and then the king, and then the pawns, and like, all this kind of stuff. I'm so bored by this kind of stuff.
But I mean, the first one was called The Gambit, and then Stratagem, and then The Revenant.
Yes.
What does Revenant mean? Let me look that up in game
I
terms.
I actually had to look up Revenant means.
Okay.
It's like a reborn...
person who has returned, especially yes. supposedly from the dead. Okay,
yes.
So that's the Revenant. I knew that. I was wondering if there's a gaming term, you know, like Gambit.
Yeah.
And so.
Well, it's probably within this game that they're all playing. They're this Zheng Zai, whatever how it's called.
No, I was wondering, but I'm wondering if like Revenant game. Terminology. Oh no, there is a game called Revenant, so I'm never going to find it now. Okay,
like
a video game, so I can't find anything. I'm getting is, but what I'm wondering is like Gambit and Stratagem is Revenant like a chess move? Like you go, oh, you move a pawn to the other side, you get your queen back. Is that a Revenant? I don't know. Anyway, it seems like we want to use this these game
terminologies,
board game terminologies, which I where was you know Stratagem and Gambit. I know that off the top of my head, Revenant might be a thing.
I think with this whole trilogy, having read the third one now, it feels very much like I've read like something in like a roller coaster. I very much felt like that.
What?
Because it like went like up and up and up and up and up and up and up.
Craziness in the first book.
And look, in all the books, I think. Like I don't remember in the second so much, but like certainly in the first one and in the third one, where you build it all up and up and up and up. And then like in the last I don't know, like last third
of the book,
it goes like boom, 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 boom.
Yeah, yeah,
so
I
it's
know.
Like you're going up this really steep thing. Sometimes you're even coming to almost a halt.
Yeah.
Like I wrote in one of my notes, like
nothing's happened for a chapter.
No, not like that. But like there was something happening.
Yeah.
And then it gets interrupted, and you can almost smell the smoke of the tires. Like like it's going, and then we get like really really slow stuff again, and so it goes good up and up and up again, and so.
Oh, that's weird. For me, the shape of this whole thing is that we like the first book is a roller coaster.
Yeah.
And then the second two books, or the second and third books, is that bit at the end of the roller coaster where you've slowed down and you're just kind of trundling around and it kind of goes around that sideways thing and you're not going up or down anything. It's completely flat and it feels a bit weird because normally when you've been going around corners, the it's been like tipping you into the corner and you kind of push down into your seat and that last two corners, because it keeps it completely flat, you go around the corner and your neck kind of goes off to one side and you're like, well, that's an experience. That's like a physical experience that you get from a roller coaster, but that's not what you're there for.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I guess you could describe it that way, but like really just reading the third book very much felt like at the beginning I was reading it and I was asking you, I'm getting so confused by those parallel timeline structure things.
Yeah.
Because it just gets so difficult in my head to keep along with, okay, when am I now?
Yeah.
How?
There's the 10 years ago flashbacks.
And to just
put
it together is just so hard. And this whole story is not something easy.
No, but I also think it's that story is made artificially complex for not very much reason.
Exactly.
It doesn't have like the thematic reasons. Like in the first book you were saying, oh, what's going on? I was like, just wait. And then you know there was those two or three sections.
Yeah,
one
which
was the flashback, like two thirds of the way through you have that flashback and I'm like, this explains what's going on. And you're like, oh great. And it's really great that we get that flashback, because up until then our main character Karis hasn't known about that. And then at that point it's interesting for that to be revealed to us as a reader.
Yes.
From the point of view of the personality of the character that's been put in her head, you know. So there's a thematic reason and a plot reason and a knowledge revelation reason for that to be transferred at that point. That's fine. But whereas in this book, they're just like, oh, this is set 10... Book 3 is set 10 years after book 2. How are we going to bridge the gap? Well, we can't just say, oh, 10 years later, go, because what's happening that time? So we have to go, okay, this has happened 10 years later. Oh, and this is happening just after the second book. And now this is happening 10 years after the second book. And this is happening just after the second book, you know?
Yeah.
And I didn't need that except as a bridging device between... Like an artificial bridging device.
It felt also like, okay, why putting in this artificial, oh, there were these 9 years where not a lot happened.
Yeah.
Why doing that?
I know. It does feel a bit weird. And I don't mind gaps between books. But this, it felt like the first book was happening, and then it was like hardly any gap at all to the next book. Sort of like, I think it was like a month or so, or two months.
Like,
I think it was
like continued. Like,
but it was like enough time for the word of what's happened to spread across the empire, and then like, what are we going to do about it? And then they put together something.
Yes.
So it's a bit strange, really. I didn't really feel like. I didn't feel like lots of interesting stuff had happened in that 10-year gap.
Yeah.
It felt like just more of what had happened in the first book had happened. No, sorry, in the second book had happened. And then this book was just sort of like more of what's going to happen.
Yes. And I actually think by doing this weird intertwined timeline story building...
It's only for the first bit of the book.
Yes, I know
book.
It is. Yeah. It is only in the beginning. But still, like, if that would have not been there like that, we would have had, like, okay, a bit more of a...
A
flowingness between the books. Because this way, we start with the future.
Yeah.
And then we tip back to in those 9 years.
Yeah, it's
so
like, what's Brezen been doing
and
this
so,
time?
Yeah, and know also what has been, like, what's with this other character, with this new character. That could have just been the start of it.
They could have just started with that. And then
would
gone...
have been way more, like... Yeah. Flowy.
It would have been, if they'd have just started with that and then been like, and then later, this is happening. And you're like, great, okay.
Yes.
I don't need to know what's happened. But it felt like this is all connected back to that. And I'm like, oh, back to what?
Yes,
like,
exactly.
Why didn't you just tell me that at the time?
Yeah.
Put that in book two, at the end of book two.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it have been great if the end of book two had finished with, hey, we're getting Jadao's brain or his personality out of storage, like the backup copy of him that we had here.
Yeah.
Or was it because there was the image of his brain, but this is actually his original brain or something that we put on ice as soon as we killed him.
Yeah.
It's sort of like here and now we brought him out of the black box and here he is. And just imagine that. You're like, if they'd have ended the second book with we're getting another copy of Jadao out and he's going to have to fight against Jadao, so it's going to be Jadao versus Jadao or original Jadao versus Karis and Jadao mixed together. If that had been at the end of the second book, I'd have been like, oh shit, book three is going to be amazing, and it would have given me something to look forward to. And then they could have just skipped forward 10 years and just been like, all right, we've got the second Jadao and this other one, over here.
It felt to me like this book was very constructed in the way that Yun Ha Lee wrote something, and then the editor said, oh, you know what we should do? Is we should put it like this, and then that, and then here, and take this out, and then that, put it this there, at that point and stuff. Maybe it isn't. Maybe I'm totally wrong about this.
No, I get what you mean.
But it felt very much like that to me. And because some things were like, some story bits were like really elaborated out and then just dropped.
Yeah. Yeah. There's whole sections of this book, which like, I'm just like, I don't want to spend I did get it. Like, there's this remaining Hexarch and this other thing over here, or Heptar, whatever they are, something like that. And then this character over there, I'm just like, why are we spending time with this character? A lot of it, I was just like, why are we spending time over here? Why are we spending time there?
Yeah. And I would have loved to see more of the whole like servitors. And
I just want to see more stuff which I hadn't seen before.
Yeah,
like, why wasn't, like, the whole of
the
first book was like, we've got to get this sorted out because there's this, was it the Hafen or the Haven or something? The Hafen. And I'm like, have the Hafen invade. Like, have something else happen which just makes it more important than just mopping up and putting new rules in place.
Yeah, also this, like, of course you have something in space, in a different universe, but if it comes back down to just, like, Games of Thrones...
Yeah.
Why would we need more of that?
Yep.
We know how
politics works. Yeah.
And emperors
exactly.
work.
Exactly. Here's the thing. It's like at the end of Star Wars... George Lucas has gone, okay, I'm going to make another movie, and this is, Empire Strikes Back, and then there's this other movie, Return of the Jedi, and what am I going to call this series? I'm going to call it Trade Negotiations. And then his first book is like, this is a trade blockade. The episode one is all like that kind of stuff. And you're like, no. I don't want a series called Machineries of Empire. I want it... Weird shit with Jadao about game theory applied to warfare or something like that. That's the book that I had. That was what the first book was, and I was enjoying it.
Yeah.
I don't want it to be the Machineries of Empire series. I want it to be the Jadao and Karis series.
Yeah.
Or I want it to be the Karis series. Or I want it to be the Jadao series. Like, give me that story. And in the second one, we're like, and over here's Brezen, and over here's Mikados, and here's that one. And in this book, it's all like, we've got some servitors over here, we've got these other characters over here. I'm like, stop it. Just give me that story. And that's why when, in Star Wars was finished, they're like, Star Wars, this is going to be the series called Star Wars. And they gave that one a new name, It's a bit weird. That's the same thing. That's kind of what's happened with the series by Alistair Reynolds with The Prefect. The first one was called The Prefect. You're like, oh, this is this guy's series. It's The Prefect. It's called The Prefect. Yeah. And then the second book came out and it was called Elysium Fire or whatever it was. I can't remember. But then they renamed the first book to a different title.
Yes.
And then called the entire series the Prefect Dreyfus Emergencies series or something like that. You said, oh, so the whole book is about this guy and what he does in these situations.
Yes.
Like, he's the main character and he's going to be the hero or the, you know, the viewpoint character. I mean, there's other characters, you know, because we got the cool pig people. Hey! Okay. I'm going to get this.
For you. Are you going to let this going?
I'm not going to press pause because then I've got to faff around with it.
Right. Okay.
There we go.
I'm never sure what you're fiddling with this so much. It's so funny.
It's faffing around.
Yes, I know. Did you tell them where you are?
They know where I am. They know where we live.
Okay.
Tell the people on the podcast what we're ordering.
Okay, Luke just gets a new dongle to replace the dongles on his laptop. It's like an all-in-one dongle. And he got it on a promotional code, so it was same-day delivery. Yay!
That was the same-day delivery. Check
cool stuff.
I've got myself a new USB-C dongle. Looking good, isn't it? It's like smaller than I was expecting.
Really? It's bigger than I expected it to be.
Really? It's got... Here, look at this.
Why are we doing this now?
I don't know. Look, it's got pass-through power, Type-C. It's got HDMI, two USB 3A, micro SD slot, SD slot. Oh, that's it.
Luke is way too excited about this.
Look at that. It's the same color as my MacBook as well.
Well done.
It's pretty good.
But it's plastic.
Anyway, so, what was I saying? We were talking about the Prefect Dreyfus emergency.
Yes.
Anyway, so again, this series is called Machine of His Empire. I was always, after the first book came out, and then I looked at what the series was called, and it was Machine of His Empire. Kind of my heart sunk a bit, because you're like, it's kind of just Game of Thrones / whatever.
Yeah,
you know.
Because I don't understand how authors think that this kind of strategy, high court, like emperors and pawns kind of story to focus on. What I want to hear is about servitors with long weird numbers.
Yeah. 85058 or whatever it is.
I have no idea what the number was. I just always saw, like, my head just didn't even think 14162 whatever.
You just saw the number.
The thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so this is what I want to know. And I want to know, okay, servitors are doing fan edits of a TV series.
I know.
Isn't that fun?
It is a lot of fun. And we did get some of that.
Yes, but not, like, it was always just like,
no,
on
but
the
I'm,
edge.
To be honest, I'm okay with just, no, because you kind of understood that that's what they did anyway. So it's fine. What I wanted was, like, the intricacies of more space battles and formations and stuff. I wanted how people got their head around this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I wanted more of the calendar stuff. But the calendar stuff, they pretty much said, hey, at the end of the first book, we're setting up this new calendar. And at the beginning of the second book, they're like, we've set up that new calendar. And then all calendrical warfare was just dropped in this. It didn't have anything. There was nothing left in it, you know. There was a little bit in this book where they're like, oh, we're going to set up a trap or whatever, like that.
Yeah.
But there was very little to go on. Very, very little to go on. And that was like a main... Like, the first book opens with them going, we've got this threshold winnower or something like that. And we're going to set it off, and it explains what it's like to be in the trenches in that battle. And she's like, we're going to do this. Oh, I used a heretical formation, but we survived. We're the only ones who survived, but we're a bit heretical. And then, you know, all that kind of stuff. That's what I was loving about this series as military science fiction in a way which was breaking. I wanted to see that stuff, and I didn't want to just see more of it. Of course, I wanted to see it develop and to be in new situations.
Yeah.
Like, what other cool technology is going to be there? And instead, they're like, and now we're going to have a history of lesson of who came up with the threshold window and what was needed and who came up with that. And I was like, no. I don't want to see again, to Star Wars, it's not a sort of like, and now we have a long explanation, a big section now, of who invented the lightsaber. And let's talk about that. 600 years ago, this person invented the lightsaber. I'm just like, stop it! Just let me see you swing a lightsaber around. Don't have half the book talking about the history of how a TIE fighter was made, or how this was made, or how that was made. Show me a TIE fighter swooping through an asteroid field being chased by...
Yeah.
Oh no, chasing a... Millennium Falcon and stuff like that.
Well,
you know,
I would like talking the third book now.
Yeah,
what I really missed quite a bit,
yeah,
especially at the beginning where it was a bit more of a draggy thing.
Yeah,
I missed action.
Yeah, there wasn't any.
It was nothing was really happening, and then
lots of people talking about stuff in rooms.
Yes, lots of people talked about things and experienced things that we already have experienced at that point, and so that was like really. Slow.
Yeah.
And it didn't like it. It didn't like it had so much potential, like things that it could have played with.
There could have been so much there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think this is why I was always then so disappointed when it touched these issues, that it always felt like it didn't go far enough.
Yeah. Weirdly enough, we now talked about this book for half an hour, mostly complaining about it wasn't the book that we wanted. The book that it was, I actually didn't think was bad. It just wasn't the book that I wanted.
Yeah.
The story, the way it told the story that it was telling, wasn't bad. Like, there was interesting stuff going on there.
Yeah,
the
totally.
Writing is great. The characters are interesting.
Yeah.
Like, but in the end, it didn't hit the spot for me because it was aiming for the wrong spot.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
And that's my issue with quite a lot of these books now, that I read the first book in a series and I really like it.
Yeah.
But they've been contracted... Like, the authors have got a contract for a trilogy.
Yeah.
And so then they just go, two of the books, bing, bang, bosh, and then a year later, here's the third book in the series. And you're like, well, like, you know, the same thing happened. Ancillary Justice. No, Ancillary, what was the first book?
Justice.
Ancillary Justice, you know. Yeah. And you're like, okay.
First book, amazing.
Hadn't read anything quite like it before.
Yeah.
Really interesting stuff. And the second book, they're like, you know what we're going to do? Something completely different. And I'm like, you know what? I'm up for something completely different. And it's like... you know, a diplomatic mission to a place where they're drinking tea a lot. And I'm like, okay, that wasn't the book it was good. It wasn't the... And then they're like, third book in the series, let's wrap this up. And I'm like, oh, good. It was okay. The trilogy was good because every book was a new series. But it did... Like, none of these recent series. Same with The Broken Earth. Did you read the... You read The Broken Earth.
Well, I read the first one.
But you didn't carry on. No, I don't think you read the second and third.
No,
because again, it's all like the first book was so amazing. The storytelling was so amazing. These three parallel storylines that went together and it was great. And then the second book was just sort of like... Oh, well, let's just do a bit more. And then the third book was like, let's do a bit more and wrap it up and answer some questions. And there you go. And I'm like, I could have stopped at the first book and got 90% of my 90% of my enjoyment of this series.
From the first book. So the first book is often just the strongest.
Yeah, it's not the strongest. It's the story the author wanted to tell.
Yeah.
If they were setting it up to tell a trilogy at the very start, they would make sure that they had spread out some of the good ideas for the second and third book.
Yeah.
But there aren't any more ideas in the second and third Broken Earth trilogy books.
Yeah.
I mean, there are some more ideas, but they're not fantastic, amazing, good ideas.
Yeah.
Same with Ancillary Justice. All of the interesting world building and all of the interesting, clever technology and... Again, use of gendered pronouns and all that kind of stuff. All of that was there in the first book.
Yeah.
And the second and third book was just sort of like, oh, and some more story in this one. And then the fourth book in that series, well, not the fourth book, but what was it called? Hereditary? No, what was it called? Provenance. We both read Provenance. Did we both read Provenance? Maybe not. Anyway.
Which book are you talking about now?
Another book.
Oh, another.
Another book in the same series. Who was it? Anne Leckie. Ancillary Justice, Ancillary Sword, Ancillary Mercy, and then Provenance, which was so bad I gave it one star.
Yeah.
Because it was just somebody going, oh, we've got these things from the past and these things and there's all the blah, blah, blah. And it was just like blah, blah. And I was literally just going, what am I reading this for? Like all of the goodwill that I had for Ancillary Justice, the first book, was just gone.
Yeah.
Just gone.
Well, in this one, it... didn't actually feel like the third book of a trilogy. It didn't really feel like it rounded up because, as I said before, all the action happened in the last third.
Yes.
And it feels like there's the more action, like, Hanging over.
Yeah, but the point is, the whole second and third books were mopping up after the first book.
Yeah, so
and
it,
now
it feels
like
this,
we are
dragging something behind from what, like in the first part of the third book, we were dragging something behind from what should have been in the second book.
Yeah.
And now we're reading actually the third book, which is half missing.
Yeah.
Because it's not there.
Yeah.
Is there a fourth book coming?
I hope not.
Well, it totally did feel like they're like.
What it feels like for me is that the book two should have, like most of book two, should have been an epilogue to book one.
Yes.
And then this book should have been book two, and it would just should have started with, hey, we've got a second Jadao, and you're like, oh shit, and then it could have ramped up in this exactly the same way to the end of this, and then you're like, and then at the end of this book, it should have been, and now the Halfmen are coming, and is the new. Imperial order.
Is this now set?
Is it now set? Is it ready?
Is it working?
Is it working? Yeah.
Is
something going to come along and threaten this? And is it going to be strong enough to hold up? So is, you know, this is the first test.
Yes.
You know, but we don't get it's again. It's all floppy. Like
it's
again.
Just lost. Like this is what I think is the most disappointing thing about this is like you have lots of strings in your hand.
Yeah.
And then they're just like. Loose and like not like and you pull it and then you think
Juliana's doing some good miming at the moment of pulling strings but
you pull a fishing rod.
Oh right,
you put it in and there's something heavy on it and then you
and then
you pull it out and then what all you get is like a can.
Well, no, not even a can. It comes out and the fish has let go or got away and you're like, oh, an empty hook.
Yeah.
And then you do it again and sometimes, and then at the very end, you're just like, and you pull the fish and like half of the fish comes out the water and then it ducks back under the water again and you're like, oh, that's the end of book three.
Yeah.
And you're like, no, just
give me more. Yeah.
I want to get the net out and land the book. Yes.
Because this is why this book for me is so difficult to rate because I did enjoy quite a bit of it.
Yeah, me too.
But then some things were just like dropped.
That's my issue. I enjoyed reading this book. I enjoyed spending time with the characters.
Yeah.
But it's left me annoyed that I don't remember any of it. So the point that we've talked about it, and we haven't talked about what the plot was, you know,
I wasn't allowed to.
Well, it doesn't matter about we don't need to talk about the plot. But normally I'd be saying, oh, and this is great, and I really like this part, and I really like that part.
Yeah.
And we haven't even been talking about a lot of the parts that we've liked. We've just been saying how unsatisfying some of this was.
Well, a lot... I already did talk about the things that I did like.
Yes.
And I, to go back to what I didn't quite like, I would have loved to spend more time with Karis.
Yeah, she wasn't in the book very much.
She was just like, okay, I'm here, and then I transmit a message, and then I'm gone again.
Yeah, she pretty much came over and checked someone's maths homework and went, no, not like that, like this. And then they were like, oh, thanks. And then she was gone. And they were like, is that all she does in this book?
Yeah.
She goes and checks someone's maths homework?
Yeah.
And I kind of wanted it to be a little bit more involved. Like, she's got someone with someone else's head in this
also,
mind.
Also, if I would have like the ability to construct my own story out of all these possibilities, I would have loved them to like the new guy.
Yeah.
Communicating via the moths and the servitors.
There was so much.
There was so much potential.
I know, but in the end, they want. Hey, we want history lessons and machineries of empire. And I'm like, I don't want history lessons. It's like it's literally George Lucas going, hey, and now we've got three more movies about Star Wars, and you're like, yay! And then they're like, okay, trade the first one, trade blockades. Mm-hmm. The second one, political maneuvering, and the third one, extended battle sequences which don't go anywhere. You know, that kind of thing. And you're just like, it's kind of hoping for Star Wars, not trade negotiations and, you know, more Jedi meetings of people sitting around in circles talking to each other.
Yeah.
And this book was very much people in meetings and sitting around in circles talking to each other. And at the end,
drinking
you're just like,
tea.
Okay.
But what I really did like...
It was good meetings. I was interested in them.
What I really did like was the language again.
Yeah.
It's some so good jokes in it. And some so...
Really funny.
So fun language. The way that it's written, it's just so fun to just read. And it's not like really difficult language where I just really have to drag my brain through being not... native in English, but like it's just like It's an easy read. It's not
It's very well written.
It's
again, keep coming back to this. It, for what it is trying to do, it does it very well. Yeah. It just isn't what we wanted.
Yeah. No,
it's just this book, this series just is that the first book was so much in my wheelhouse.
Yeah.
Like, it's one of the best books that I've read in recent years.
Yeah.
Like, one of the few 5-star books I think, let me actually quick.
It was at the end of 2016, 15 or something?
Yes, because it was too long. I've literally got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. In over 10 years of doing this podcast, I've got 12 5-star books.
Yes.
And the first book in this series is one of them.
Yeah.
And it's really, really, really difficult for the second and third book to be at that level. But sometimes it happens. Like, sometimes a book, I don't think any of these other books. Oh, well, yeah, of course, Ian M. Banks. I just looked down here, and 3 of the 5-star novels are Ian M. Banks. Player of Games. Like, this book is so player... Yeah. The first book is so Player of Games.
Yeah.
It's literally a mix between Use of Weapons and Player of Games.
Yes.
In a way which is just so crazily good that even Yoon-Ha Lee was like, so many people have said this is like the culture series and Player of Games and stuff like that. I should really get into it. And I'm like, oh, let me write a blog post just for you. So make sure that you read Player of Games first. And then you see, my reading order, order and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And Yoon-Ha Lee was back on Twitter going, thanks, this is great. This is very helpful. And I'm like, oh, thank goodness. this author could be my new favorite author, if you know what I mean.
Yes, I know.
Like, because of that first book. And if they read Player of Games, I don't know, learn the wrong lessons.
I understand the whole idea of a publisher saying, okay, I read your first book there, you have amazing ideas, I want you to write 2 other books
in a series.
Why is it that, authors don't just write one book, which is one thing, you get one thing that is complete, that is perfect. And then, how about a trilogy, how about just writing a book in the same universe?
Yeah.
From a different a different character. Some overlap or whatever.
Yeah, I remember reading this one book which is called Spell something. What is it called? Spellwrite by Blake Charlton, which I actually read in 2011, so quite a long time ago. Mm. And it's Spellwrite number 1. And then he completed the second book. Mm-hmm. And then, gave it to his editor, and the editor was like, oh, very good, interesting, good stuff like that. And then he gave it to the agent, and the agent was like, what's this? And he's like, oh, the next book. And they're like, no, but this is like a different main character. He's like, the first book was this person, and that was that person's story, and now they finished it, and this other person over here, this woman over here, she's got a different job, and she's going this different thing, and now this is her story over there. And I'm like, that's so cool.
This is it. And in this third book of this trilogy now, there would have been so many main characters. Opportunities.
Any one of these could have been the main character. The Servitor could have been the main character.
Oh, yeah.
Just imagine telling a Star Wars story from the droid's point of view. Of course, that is one of the things that people say about the Star Wars is that actually, the point of view characters BB-8. In this first movie. No, it's R2-D2 and C-3PO are the people that you follow the story. They're the start in the opening scene, then they go down and follow Luke, and as they go along, and then R2-D2 is in the final battle,
and even if you have one other main character, you can still tell the story of what happens and with the other people, just how that affects the other people, like the main character.
Well, that is kind of what happened in the second book, because in the second book in this series they're like, okay, Jadao is not going to be the viewpoint character, these other characters are going to be, but it didn't tell their self-contained stories and have this other stuff in the background. It told the people's in the background stories through these people in the foreground, and I'm like,
but also
so it's short shrifting both of them.
I thought, wasn't one of our criticisms as well, why follow the rich guys?
Yeah.
Why not follow one of those in this book that were called gardeners, of the infantry soldiers?
Yeah, yeah. But that is what we did get in the first book. We started off in the trenches, Karis was infantry, and was in the trenches, and then came out and were like, oh, now you've got this job. And it's like, great. And we got her moving through that. Anyway, I don't want to keep talking about how we didn't like this book.
Yeah.
And also how we did like how, this book. Because we're just going around in circles now. Yeah, and we've run out of Star Wars analogies to talk about.
No, you were...
Star Wars is just such an easy... it's everybody knows it. No, I'm saying it's an easy reference because everybody has seen Star Wars and everybody knows all of it.
One question. Would you recommend this book to a person who hasn't read the first ones?
No, I would recommend read Nine Fox Gambit and stop.
Okay.
Literally, because there's nothing that happens in these next two books which can't be just imagined by anyone who has read the first book.
And have a little bit of and creativity.
Just say to them, hey, you know what? The Servitors, they also do fan edits of the TV shows that they look. And you're just like, oh, great. That's cool. And you're just like, yay. And you go, just imagine how cool that is. And they're like, that's a really good idea. It's like, good. You don't need to read any of that story thread going along. And you could just say, oh, you know, at the end of this book... You know, they were like at the end of the first book, they were going to set up the new order with the new calendar and the new math magic. Yep. They're like, great. You're like, yeah, they did that. It took about 10 years to mop everything up and another two novels worth, but you don't need, they did it. That's fine. Mm. And like, what were the major obstacles along the way? Just like, no major obstacles, just like mopping up. And you're like, oh, but what was the big threat that came along? Oh, no big threat. Like, what was the big thing that happened in book 2 and 3 that I have to push through and read about? It's like, oh, no, just stuff happening, you know. Some history lessons, people. Filling in the background, people having meetings and stuff. You're like, no, but what was really good? Like, what happened? You're like, no, just that. And that's what it feels like to me. At least in Ancillary Justice and some of these other ones, you're like, oh, no, that more stuff happens.
Yeah.
So I do think with Ancillary Justice, it is worth... You can read all the way through to the end of the trilogy, and you get to the end of the trilogy, and you're like, oh, right, that's good. That is that one person.
That one...
Entity's complete story, whatever. Yeah. And the second book is completely different from the first.
But if anyone has read book 1 and 2, would you then say read the third book?
Well, that's the thing. Might as well.
Yeah,
if you can,
I think so.
If you've got a spare Audible credit or you can get the book free from the library app.
It took me 2 weeks to read this.
Yeah.
So, a quick person...
But I don't want the follow-up books to one of my favourite novels of the last few years to be... Might as well. You know, you got some spare time.
Yeah.
You know,
it's
that's kind of what a 2.5-star, 3-star book is. It's sort of like, it's like, don't not read it. Like, I'm not recommending anyone not reading it.
Yeah.
It's just, like, just understand going in that it isn't, like, if you found the first book too complex and annoying, these second two books, the second and third book, might be perfect for you because they're just less less complex.
Yes.
And you don't have to use your brain as much because it's just Game of Thrones-ing it through. Like, who's going to be in charge and what's this person doing over here? You know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And the first book was like, your brain is breaking and you have
to
reimagine entire political structures and worlds.
That was going on in my brain.
I know, you said it at the time.
It was challenging.
I know, and it was, again, it was that experience where I was sitting you down and going, okay, this, read, like, from there through to there.
Yeah.
And then once you read that, now let's talk about it for a while. And we talked about it for 15 minutes and you're like... Oh, right. And I'm like, yes, right.
Yeah. You know? This was definitely a challenging book. I don't think the second and the third was challenging.
It's literally turn off your brain and just see what happens next.
Yeah. And I mean, it's sometimes really good to have a book like that.
Yes. And that's fine if you want to read a...
Space opera action.
A silly space opera military science fiction.
Action.
But sometimes I want something which reminds me in all the best ways of a mix between... player of games and use of weapons.
Yeah, of course.
And unfortunately, well, put it this way, the first book was so much in my wheelhouse because of that.
Yeah.
Like, two of my other 5-star books by another author, like, smashed together and in ways which are, like, amazing.
New ways,
which are absolutely amazing. I'm like, yes, great. But then book 2 and 3 don't even come close to the worst of the culture books. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, even consider Phlebas, which is... Yeah,
to me,
that's the thing.
They just feel safe.
Even consider Phlebas, you get to the end and you're like, oh shit, that's a weird way to end a book. And you're like, you did realise that this book was written from the point of view of the bad guys, in like someone working for the bad guys in the story. And you're like, oh right, that's why it ended. Like, you know, there's ways of thinking it through, even though if it's unsatisfying as a story, you're like, oh, actually it's unsatisfying because of this, this and this and this. And that's why I don't like telling people to read that book first.
Yes.
In with the culture, because you kind of need to see it, like, it's kind of more accessible if you see it from the other point of view first.
Yeah.
You know, you realise we're reading a story from the other side of the war, but if that's the first story you read in that series, it's more difficult to kind of really comprehend what's going on.
Definitely.
So, So the second and third book, there isn't even that complexity of this series. There isn't even the complexity of going, oh, it wasn't satisfying narratively, but it's not unsatisfying narratively because he's doing this interesting stuff with the writing.
And the complexity, like, there was some, like, it wasn't complexity, it was more confusion.
Yeah, again, if there was any complexity, I would remember it.
Yeah, of course.
Anyway, that's enough. We talked about this book for 50 minutes. Let's stop. Yeah. Next book that I'm going to review is...
I don't know.
I'm still reading
Red Mars.
Yeah, Red Mars. Oh yeah,
working my way through that.
Red Mars. When did I?
I'm halfway through that one.
Let's quickly go to my home. Yeah, I have Red Mars here in my Goodreads, and I added Red Mars. I marked it as currently reading the day that you.
I'm like 90% through it.
Yeah. I'll start reading when you're 90% through.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to find it. Yes, I marked it as currently reading on May 21st. So, and I made 1%, because I couldn't do less than 1%, waiting for you, Liana, to get to the last few chapters before I begin. So, that'll happen.
Yeah.
I'm also reading Gridlinked, Agent Cormac, Polity Universe, Neil Asher. I was using up some Audible credits and put that on there, even though I've read a few Neil Asher books recently. I've read one pretty recently. I was like, I'll just have it on my phone in case I need an extra audiobook.
Yeah.
And then I did, because you hadn't got to Red Mars yet. And then The Library at Mount Char, which is pretty interesting. Lots of people say, it's crazy, I don't know what's going on, it's absolutely crazy. Lots of people on the SFBRP listener group were saying, oh, you should read this book, it's crazy, you don't understand what's going on. And I'm like, it's not that crazy. I mean, some crazy stuff is happening, but it's not confusing.
Okay.
It's just a fun fantasy, magic-y fantasy kind of series.
Okay.
Well, which I'm enjoying.
I have in my other loans that, like, I sometimes go through the library app and say, like, oh yeah, I'm interested in this.
Yeah.
But then immediately when this gets available, it just comes to my shelf.
Oh, and you don't have time to read it.
And I don't have, because I currently have 4 books in there. And
in the waiting list?
On my loans.
Oh, okay.
So I
what
have Due in 12 Days.
What's that?
Binti series by Nnedi
Okorafor.
Yes.
Is it a series or is it just one book?
It's one book in the series and I think it's the first book in the series.
Yeah, Binti is like a novella. So you could probably read that in like 3 days or something.
Yeah.
Or a day.
So have you read this?
No, I've read other books by her.
Oh, okay. So,
Binti is a novella, and I never like spending full audiobook credits on something which will only take me an hour and a half to listen to.
A free library app thing.
Sure, why not?
So that's my next book. And I was thinking we should maybe also see what people on Goodreads were thinking about Revenant Gun.
Oh, no, I have it here. Machine of Empire.
Like, it's really highly rated by lots of my friends.
Yeah, of course, because third book in the series. Look at this. Machine is, it's 4.28. That is going to be a way higher rating than the first book in the series.
Yeah.
You know why? Because the first book in the series, people who didn't like it are going to review it.
Yes.
Look, 3.87 is the first book.
Yeah.
4.18 for the second book. And 4.28. So the ratings go up as the series continues.
Of course, because only the people who are actually
interested. That's what I said going at the time.
Reading.
And
yeah,
for me, so it's the opposite way round, you know.
So it's
Nine Fox Gambit, 5 stars. Raven Stratagem, like, actually lower. I think this third book was better than the second book. Because I already knew. I think the story's a bit better.
Yeah.
And it does wrap up. There's a bit more action and stuff like that.
But I think it's totally biased.
It's not biased.
No,
it's
selection bias.
Yeah, selection bias.
That's very much what it is.
It's a selection bias rather than this person by favorite author.
Yes.
So I'm gonna. It's a different. Oh, I just kicked your microphone. It's a different kind of bias. Then this is my favorite author, so I'm gonna really enjoy the book. And I'm like, but this is a shit book. It's like, yes, but it's a shit book by your favorite author. So of course you're just gonna be a lot more forgiving about it. That's a different kind of bias than books in the series bias.
Totally.
And the secret
I have
fatigue.
To scroll really far down to get actually somebody else who rated it 3 stars.
Which book? The third book.
The Revenant Gun.
Oh no, Lindsay, my friends, Lindsay rated it 4 stars. Terrence Blake.
4 and 5. It's all I
rated
can see
it 4
here.
Stars. I've only got 2 friends who've rated it. And it says you are 82% of the way through, even though you finished it yesterday.
Oh, somebody rated 2 stars.
It's not a 2-star book.
No, I think it's a solid 3-star
thing. It's like 3 stars. Let's both give it 3 stars and it'll average out at 3 stars.
Yes.
I might have given it a little bit more as the, immediately after finishing it, but I'm doing this review 4 weeks after I finished it, and I don't remember so much of it. Wow, 53 minutes. We really waffle on when there's two of us, didn't we? Jenny on Reading Envy was like, oh, three person on a podcast, which means this is 50% longer than normal episodes.
Yeah, of course.
Hopefully
because
people...
I also sometimes have something
don't
to say.
Don't shout, man. That's really loud.
I'm not man.
I'm not saying man. I'm saying, like, as in a swear word. Man! What? Woo! Anyway. So, yeah. Hopefully you enjoyed the bonus audio that I put in the two episodes, our Reading Envy episode and SFF audio. What were we talking about, SFF audio? I read a book for it. Can't remember what it was.
I wasn't on it.
Oh, no. It was The Lathe of Heaven. Yes, was the recent book for that.
Yeah.
Anyway. I think that's it. Follow me on Twitter, at Luke Burridge. On Instagram, Luke Burridge there as well. YouTube, Luke Burridge. Goodreads, Luke Burridge. Skype, Luke.Burridge for some reason.
Why would anyone want to Skype with you?
I'm just saying my only username, which isn't just Luke Burridge, is Skype, and it's Luke.Burridge, but only because I also have Luke Burridge, but I forgot the password. And I think I had another thing. So
you're funny.
Yeah, I should see if I could claim that account back. But then by then, I'd use the other one so much.
Of course.
Yuliana Kuntanov, you can see what she's up to on Instagram. Lots of pictures from the garden. And coming soon, special podcast projects. New episodes of special podcast projects may be coming in the future.
I'm very interested. Like, I heard something. Did I hear that?
What?
Like, was that something? Like, I heard something. You what? Doing something. You got that.
Oh, no, that's something different. No, I'm saying Yuliana and Luke podcast projects, which aren't immediately connected with reviewing science fiction, which we will sprinkle in the feed and hopefully enjoy. We did the yes, pilot, but I'm thinking I've got like another 4 or 5 pilot episode ideas for other podcast ideas. So
because
maybe
I just don't
check
have that
them in.
Strong, like, yes, no opinion.
No, it's good. But again, it was a pilot and good responses for it, but it's too much work.
Also, I'm just apparently an old woman.
Don't wait. Anyway, more pilot episodes of prospective future podcast projects from featuring Yuliana and Luke in the future. Right, that's it for us. Thanks a lot for listening, and I'll catch you next time.
Goodbye.